For what I will later in this course I will be speak something for the elliptic equations. Then we will speak spectral problems for elliptic equations. And to study these spectral problems, we actually speak inverse problems for wave equations. Okay, let me just start to describe about what we want to find out in the terms that these inverse problems are often non-unique. So let us consider that we have a domain in Rn. And then we consider wave equation. Something like this, that the second time derivative minus sum of some second order terms. Here we have the elliptic equation. Depend on x, by the way, not on time. Then some c of x. These operate to some function xp is 0, and this happens for xp in omega times r. So this, why this problem, the inverse problems in general means that we want to find out these coefficients. And there are now quite many coefficients. And this produces that we have lots of freedom in the problem. And let's look some, some non-uniqueness that happens immediately. Yeah.
What are we told? I mean, I guess we're supposed to try to figure out the A, the B, and the C.
Yeah. I'm going to explain this is a gauge type of thing. So actually, the inverse problem is something like this: that we assume that we observe this solution near the boundary times I will actually formulate this the initial values and this kind of things later, but let's assume that you think that we assume the solution for all possible solutions in this omega times r. And the question is that what we can find about these coefficients a, j, k, b, j of x, and c of x. So we have like a domain. And then here near the boundary, I will explain actually different type of measurements we can do here on the boundary. But close to this boundary, in this layer, we observe the solutions, and we want to find what are these time independent. We find to find the time independent coefficients in the domain. And indeed, there are lots of like gauge type of transformations that will actually cause that we cannot determine this unique. And let's first look those. So there are The inverse problem is non-unique. As there are two things that we can do. First, we can change the definition of x coordinate. We define function double, let me say vxt, that is u in some point phi of xt. So if we consider like just one dimensional problem, so here is I put here like here now x-axis, I just consider fixed t. And here is basically this u-axis. Here is our solution. The way how we define this, the coordinates on this x-axis, here is like point x, here is x prime. We could change the coordinates and consider coordinate y at this phi of x. So basically, we can think that we have some domain, and we could put their coordinates in any way we want. We have like physical domain, and then we have a mathematical model. And the way how we put coordinates to write the mathematical model down is totally up to us. And second is that we can scale this u coordinate and define function w of xt, that is some function kappa of x times u xt. So here we could, in each point, we could see that we have here different like measurement scale, and we could define it to vary in terms of x. And now, let us first consider this non-uniqueness number one. So I will later explain precisely what the measurements are and what is the initial boundary value problem that we consider. But let's now just like consider this issue that we have freedom in choosing coordinates in x variable and u variable. And this has consequences for two different type of things. There are consequences for imaging, and then there is a new technology called transformation optics. That is very similar than imaging, but has a totally different point of view. So let's just consider that for in imaging, we have one physical body. Like here. And we could think that it lies in Euclidean space. So let me draw here Euclidean coordinates. But now when we write mathematical model to model wave equation or model waves, we could change these coordinates here. So we could say that somehow the nature doesn't give us any fixed coordinate set. We can change coordinates inside here. So we could have two and this kind of mathematical models. In two different coordinates. we have like this model that I already draw here in Euclidean coordinates. And then we would have here some other coordinates. They could be the same near the boundary, but we deform them inside the domain. And now we could write, when we want to model the waves, we could write the wave equation in these coordinates or these coordinates. And then we would have different equations with different coefficients. But there would be only one physical body, so, and we have two models for it. Now when we consider physical observations close to this boundary, because there is only one physical body, then the measurements should be the same. So this means that there are many different mathematical models with the same boundary measurements. So what we could try to find out? We could find out in these different mathematical models something that is together common for them. And now they are basically the same models, just written in different coordinates. So if you look at some coordinate invariant structures, that might be something that we can find here. So we could find here goal, find underlying manifold structure, a manifold structure. Okay. Then there's this new technology that has been developed since 2007, transformation optics. And there we just change our point of view. We consider that we have one mathematical model. Here. And here we thought that we somehow represent this model in different coordinates. Now we think that we make a deformation by using a different morphism. So we basically take this mathematical model here. One is could be that we take it and embed with identical map to Euclidean space. We get like, so I write here, we get two physical models. Maybe I write like not models but really bodies. So for instance, you could have here empty space where light rays travel straight lines in this model. Here we have a model where waves travel along straight lines, so light rays would be straight lines. And then other physical body where the light rays would travel along this type of curves. And if I use these paths along which light travels as coordinates, the mathematical model then is the same as here. So one can create like different physical bodies which has a common mathematical model. And here the goal is to build different kind of for these optical instruments. So let me somehow show what this means in practice. So here is this for imaging. For instance, well, let's just assume that we are like for instance, imaging human. Here is the for the belly or the boundary of the human. And then you put here ultrasound like device here. Then this sense, like you can think that the waves go along, like geodesics. The waves go, for instance, along this type of rays. This is the physically the sound rays go, and then doctor gets a picture where these rays are straight lines. So this picture will be on the computer screen. So we would have that, we get here some image. It is not the same as the physical realities, but some object that would be here, it would be a similar type of object would be visible here. So we can make imaging in some wrong coordinates, and this would be the application. And this is actually how ultrasound imaging very much works. So then the transformation optics. So here we would have this kind of reasonable deformation that we just deform the domains mostly. But the idea there is to generalize these kind of deformations. For instance, they are just kind of like now in engineering models that don't have rigorous mathematical sense yet. For instance, in one-dimensional case, we have here x variable, and let's define new variable y, that is phi of x. So these pictures here would correspond to this kind of like identical map. Then we would have some other coordinates that are deformed in this way. But now engineers are somehow like studying this type of exotic models where the deformation would not be a diffeomorphism, but would be like this. It would be like folding the space, that we make a deformation that where we fold the space in this way. And what? What this yields? This would yield this kind of exotic structure. Here we have like first identical, just usual space. Then it would have some exotic matter. And then again, usual Euclidean space. Yeah. Ah, yes. Oh, yes, this is needed. Thanks. So, this kind of like exotic maps would produce exotic materials. Engineers are building those. This type of material that comes from this kind of folding of the space are called left-handed material, where physical parameters, for instance, permittivity and permeability, would be negative. And if one would look light rays in this type of exotic media, here we have a source where light rays glow. The way how engineers think about this is that this media has negative refractive index. So light rays would behave like this. Snell's law would be such that rays are not going through with, they somehow turn back here. Light rays would behave in this way. So a point source here would focus here perfectly. And this kind of thing would correspond to a lens that has no optical axis, and it's called perfect lens. But there is not rigorous mathematical theory yet for this type of things. So in this course, I will first consider this kind of imaging. And later, in the last two lectures, I will speak about this transformation of the optics applications. So I would say that here are lots of open questions. There, like in imaging, our goal is now to somehow consider more and more realistic structures. For instance, structures where we have discontinuities, or like a curvature is, has then. For instance, if we have a like structure having discontinuities, then this would consider manifolds where the curvature is not bounded. So we try to somehow here consider as large class of manifolds as possible. Here the point of view is different. One takes some interesting examples like that are somehow very singular and tries to study how to define the direct problem and what type of properties the direct models would have. But still they are very similar. The ideology is very similar, that they are based on just deformations of the domain using basically diffeomorphism that maps the domain to itself. But let me now start from this imaging, and let me consider now a precise model how they formulate this. Okay, so like I said, so this we can basically write this point one here is that we can write the physical model in different coordinates. So what we then do, we actually want to consider this physical body as a manifold, and we consider coordinate invariant properties of it. So let us consider this omega in Rn as a manifold, Riemannian manifold, metric dg is the distance of two points x and y is the travel time from x to y. So when we have this kind of physical body, we introduce there a coordinate invariant metric. And let's now assume now that we somehow represent this in some coordinates, and that this metric is that this travel time metric is actually Riemannian metric. Okay, so what we do? So actually, you know, what we now do is that we identify all isometric Riemannian manifolds, and we formulate the inverse problems as follows. I will later formulate the boundary measurements. Do the boundary measurements determine the isometric type of the manifold. So basically we ask the question that like that in this kind of imaging problem where we do ultrasound measurements, we ask that if we somehow represent find this physical medium in the travel time coordinates where the light rays propagate along straight lines in these coordinates, can we uniquely determine the picture here. So basically this takes care about this problem one here, in the sense that we define the problem in a new way. We don't ask that can we define the coefficients in the Euclidean space. We think that actually the object is Riemannian manifold, and we ask can we determine the equivalence class of the isometric Riemannian manifolds that give rise to these boundary measurements that we have observed. Let me now somehow write this model precisely. Maybe I will use this here. Okay. So let MG be a Riemannian manifold. And A AXD be in local coordinates of the form this A is minus sum jk to n ajk of x, then j derivative k derivative plus sum j is 1 to n of u b j plus some c of x, where this a j k of x is this Riemannian metric j k of x. So this means that when we are considering the travel time metric, the metric defined by the travel times, then the waves propagate with speed 1 with respect to this travel time. Okay, then now we are going to study, we are interested in inverse boundary spectral problems. So we have considered like eigenvalues and eigenfunctions. And in this presentation I assume that we have self-adjointness. And for that end, we assume that we have some measure. dv, that is now some function m of x times then the Riemannian volume. So this is the Riemannian volume on the manifold such that a with the domain of a is Sobolev two functions on the manifold intersected with Sobolev one functions with vanishing boundary value. This operator, so we are such that A with this domain is self-adjoint. B a compact Riemannian manifold with boundary. Okay, so we assume we have some measure so that this operator written in this term, this is self-adjoint. And actually then now we can write this operator in quite explicit form. Actually then A of u, it must be that it is minus we have the divergence, sorry, oh. There's function m to power minus 1 times then divergence with respect to metric g of function m of x times gradient with respect to metric g of u plus then just zero to order term q of x times u of x. So actually this is the form of operators that you study. They are actually now like just a representation for second order elliptic operators on the manifold that are self-adjoint with respect to some measure. Okay. Now we can speak about this other type of deformation. Let me see if I say first about the boundary measurements. Let me first define still what are the boundary measurements. Let this satisfy wave equation. So actually I use A just to denote this differential expression here, and it operates also for functions that don't satisfy this Dirichlet boundary condition. So I just consider this difference operator that is here. So this is wave equation. This is in manifold times R plus. At time t is 0, I assume that the wave is 0, then the time derivative also, then t is 0, is 0, and then we put the boundary condition, I put Dirichlet boundary condition, u on boundary of m times r plus, this is some function f x t. And we could assume that this here, at this moment, that this is actually C infinity 0 function on boundary of M times R plus. And also I assume in this talk that all these coefficients, like A, B, and C, and so the Riemannian metric, that they are C infinity smooth. So these are the solutions. Then we define the Dirichlet Robin map I often write it like DR map is then mapping lambda. I put here time index t sometimes. This takes this f and maps it to normal derivative with respect to the metric plus some function Robin coefficient sigma of u on boundary of m times 0 t, and I denote that lambda is this lambda t when fit, when this t is infinite. Yes, so the picture looks like this. Oops. Plus sigma. Sorry? Yeah. Sigma is C infinity function on boundary of M times R plus including zero. Actually it is, it's also unknown. I will motivate this. Yes, but I mean that you can assume that it is given or that it is not given. Both are possible. But often in practical problems, it's also unknown. Let me draw that picture on this measurement configuration. So in one-dimensional case, when the manifold is one-time dimensional, here I have x variable. Let us assume now that this manifold, for instance, is interval like 1, 0, 1, so this interval. This time is up. Maybe I should draw. So here we have the wave is zero. Then at the boundary, we put the boundary source. We considered actually this Dirichlet boundary condition actually as boundary source. So we put on the boundary a source that varies in time. Then this, so sources are now supported here. This produces a wave that propagates to the media. Some of it reflects back, and we observe. So here we have F, and then we observe this. Wave at the boundary. Yes, we will. So that often one studies the problem where sigma is zero. So then this would be called Dirichlet to Neumann map in time domain. So we do like sources are the solution. Now we are considering wave equations, so solutions vary in time. So does our boundary sources vary in time, and also our measurements are on the boundary times time interval. Yes, if sigma is given, then this is the same, this is equivalent information to the Dirichlet to Neumann map. So actually why this this Robin coefficient is related to the second point here, but why this map is somehow physically interesting? Let us look the energy of the wave. Okay, so I put also here. So boundary, I will often say that I assume that boundary data is given. Boundary data is collection of the boundary given as a smooth differentiable manifold. And for simplicity, I assume in this talk that we also know the metric on the boundary, the inherited metric. And then this boundary measurement map, this Dirichlet-Robin map with all times. So this is the data. We can think this now that also in this way that we would have, here we have, for instance, now we could think that this is really arbitrary compact manifold with boundary. So we would have, for instance, like, let me draw a larger picture. So let me think that I have a torus here. Then now it is compact. Then I want to make a boundary to it. So let me remove piece of this. I remove somehow piece of this torus. Now I put boundary sources. So I don't know what this manifold here is. The task is to reconstruct also its topology and its differentiable structure. We put boundary sources here on the boundary, and then we measure how the waves, that when the waves propagate here, they go around and come back. We observe those, and we want to reconstruct this manifold here. Actually, we are not going to reconstruct this manifold because so what means reconstruction of a manifold? We want to reconstruct the isometry type of the Riemannian manifold. So it is actually equivalence class of Riemannian manifolds that we want to reconstruct. And how we do that? Actually, so equivalence class of isometric Riemannian manifolds. We will reconstruct one, we will build up a concrete copy of the original Riemannian manifold. So reconstruction of Riemannian manifold means actually the construction of a Riemannian manifold that is isometric to the original one. So why this is physically interesting? Now the energy of wave at time t is some t capital is, let me write okay. I will also write here, often we write that u is uf xt. So I will put the super index here to indicate that it is the solution of this problem corresponding to the boundary sources f. So this is the wave produced by wave f. So energy of the wave produced by boundary source f at time t is integral over m. Then I have here absolute value of the time derivative of ux evaluated at t is t capital squared plus then the Riemannian norm of gradient of u with respect to metric g xt squared plus then q of uxt capital squared then dv this measure integrating in x variable. So if we don't have, if the boundary sources are zero here after this some time, then this quantity stays constant, so it is natural to define that it's the energy. And it has like, okay, that it also looks like the typical physical energy. Here this Q is this term here. And this dV contains this function m. And now, then I had to add one more thing here. Then also at the boundary,